This is Mental, the podcast to destigmatize mental health. I'm Bobby Timps.
I'm Danny Hogan.
Each Thursday, we delve into a factor or condition that influences the mind and how to better manage it. With special guests and stats you can trust, here we go. This week, I'm joined by Nicola Foxfield. She's an actor, singer, voiceover artist, and does loads of behind-the-scenes theatre roles that I, as an outsider to the industry, don't fully understand, but do understand are vital. We actually have a mutual friend in my flatmate Kat, however, what you're hearing is the first time we've spoken. Very much how extroversion in lockdown is going for me so far. In the interview, you'll hear how she's managing her mental health during this time, and what she sees as the future of her industry and her career personally. This conversation also kind of links a little bit to last week's, and we talked a lot about the support needed for the arts. Of course, recently we've had the brilliant announcements of a lot of that funding and support finally coming in. And even since we recorded this interview a few days ago, it's been announced that open air theatre can now happen. A slightly strange announcement in that it came just 2 days before the change came into effect. And I've certainly not come across any theatre that can be thrown together that quickly. But it is no doubt a positive move for the industry and hopefully a sign of more opportunities coming Nicola's way very soon. So we'll get into that interview with Nicola Foxfield in a moment. But first, who's our sponsor? Let's find out.
I'm Nicola Foxfield. I'm an actor and a singer. I've also worked a bit in stage management, so all of my work is theatre related, which means my lockdown has been quiet, empty, because on one day in March, I lost absolutely every job I had booked from that date until pretty much the end of the year, which was very, very stressful. So it's been both quiet and stressful, I think is the best way of putting it. I've spent most of the time in my house. And one thing I have discovered, which is good, is my garden. And it turns out I can plant things and they will grow.
I've had a similar experience. I found a company that has what they call almost unkillable plants.
And I like that.
I mean, one of them's gone a little bit grey, but overall, they're still alive.
Yeah, I always thought I was the sort of person that would kill plants, but it turns out I just never had the time to look after them.
Yeah. And it's something I wonder about in a general sense, how much we'll reassess our lives during this period. Certainly a lot of people I know with the fairly standard 9-to-5 jobs, they don't really want to go back to it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm desperate to get back to my job. I miss it deeply. But one silver lining of this is it's been a time to sort of stop and reassess and look at the things maybe that were missing from my life, such as spending time obviously in the garden, which was something I never thought I would enjoy. But like I said, I think it was I didn't have the time for it before. So now whatever happens, because I've planted a garden and it's beautiful and it's growing. So now whatever happens after this, I plan to try and keep my garden alive, which means I now need to try and perhaps take all the time that I used to waste on Twitter and places like that and use that time instead to actually go outside and check on my lavender plants, for instance.
Yeah, that sounds lovely. And have you felt the pressure that I think a lot of creatives have of you've got this time and therefore you need to do 100 projects and have 10 scripts ready or whatever your equivalent would
Absolutely.
Be?
Absolutely. Yeah. The one that everyone was bandying around at the start was Shakespeare wrote Lear in a pandemic. So what are you going to do? And I think for the first couple of weeks, I didn't want to do anything. It's so difficult to explain, but being a performer, like my job is not everything that I am, but is a huge part of who I am. And to suddenly have that ripped away and not even to be like, well, I'm not on stage this summer, but at least I can go and watch my friends and shows. But to have none of that was just, it was devastating. So I threw myself into trying to create projects straight off the bat because I thought that was what I should be doing. And I made lists and I tried to do so much stuff. And then a couple of weeks in, I just had a bit of a meltdown and was like, going to pause for a while and try and actually work out what I should be doing for me, I think.
And so what was happening during that time for you?
Well, I have two YouTube channels, one of which is my backstage channel, which is what I'd normally be posting on throughout the year. Obviously, I'm not backstage at the moment. And the other one is my demo channel. So if I want to send something to a producer or a casting director, I'll direct them to videos on there. of Nicola Foxfield, by the way, on YouTube. Check it out. But I created a video pretty much straight away. And it did really well because it was just one of those things. I just went upstairs, put all my recording studio together, sang a song, and it went down really well. So I was like, oh, wow, I should do more. So I made a list of all the ones I wanted to do. And I kind of overwhelmed myself a little bit, I think, with all of that. And then you find that you're so exhausted and there's the pressure. And I don't know whether the pressure comes from yourself or whether it comes from outside, but it is that, like, I need to keep going. Even though this has happened, I need to keep going and I need to get up. And after a while, I think I got so overwhelmed by that that, like, getting up in the morning would just be ridiculously difficult because I'm like, well, all I've got to get up for is projects that I'm organizing myself that aren't actually making any money. And as satisfying as they are when you put them out, I found that really, really hard. But I think that was the first couple of weeks into lockdown where I just had a, not quite an identity crisis. I think that's overblowing it a little bit, but a moment of, I'm not quite sure who I am anymore because I'm not on stage. And I've got all this pressure, whether it's from myself or whether it's from others, that I should be doing things. And I've got really nothing to do. So, yeah, wasn't the greatest.
Right. In acting in particular, you have that kind of layered identity as well, that you've got a character that you're in, and then you've got who you are as a performer behind that, and then you've got your personal life. And so much of that was removed that you then find yourself at home, and it's almost like you don't know who to present as because you don't have a character and your career is on pause. So who are you to the world then?
Yeah. In the first couple of years of my career, I didn't realise this, but in recent years, I've always been really keen to make sure that I'm aware that I am more than just my job and to have interests outside of my job. And in the theatre industry, there's this whole, like, you must live it, you must breathe it. And there's been a swing recently towards the, remember that you're not just an actor, you are also, and in my case, I am a sister, aunt, daughter, I am, I was going to say girlfriend, actually got engaged, so I'm a fiance. Like, I'm all of these things. And on top of that, I am an amateur surfer. I am someone who, like, makes really good food. Like, I'm really happy with my cooking, you know, and I'm all of those things, as well as being an actor. And I think while I was working, I'd got a great balance, but I don't think I'd realised just how huge a part of my identity performing was. It's almost like there is an energy within me which is reserved for my work. And because I hadn't got an output for that kind of creative energy, you sort of feel a bit lost. If that makes sense?
Yeah. To touch on what you mentioned about motivation, you're so used to living by other people's timescales. You know, there's a whole production around so much of your work. And so then suddenly you're at home on a project you've decided to do and no one's really waiting for because you've just made it up. And so, of course, that's going to be difficult to motivate yourself with. And I think to a degree we've all experienced that we've been reminded how much going to maybe work at an office or whatever our environment is plays into our motivation as well, that it's so external, our job, who that means we are, our colleagues, what they expect of us. And actually, when we're home alone, we're like, I don't know how to motivate myself without all of that.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention time, because actually it was around about the time the clocks changed, not long after that, was when I had my little wobble. Because what I distinctly remember was going upstairs and my bedside table had become an absolute mess. In the weeks since lockdown had started, I just hadn't done anything with it. And I'd got stuff piled up on there and it was dusty and it was horrible. And I've got allergies. So I was like, I need to sort this out. And at the bottom of it, I found my watch. And I just sat on the floor holding my dusty watch and I cried because I hadn't worn my watch in weeks. I hadn't needed to because there'd been no, oh, I need to be here by this time. And I knew I hadn't worn it in weeks because it had been a while since the clock changed and it still showed the old time. So I sort of changed the time on my watch, put it ready on my bedside table, and it's still there. And it's kind of a symbol to me of everything still not being normal, because I'll know life is normal again when I can pick that watch up and put it back on, because I will have a time scale to adhere to. But for now, there's very little in my life that is organized by time. I eat when I'm hungry, go to bed when I'm tired, and I wake up when I wake up. It's very, very weird.
I've had a similar experience where I've been fighting very hard not to go nocturnal. But when so much of your routine is gone, there's so much less reason to not do that. Like, it, even motivating myself to go to bed, which seems like such an easy thing, has been challenging at times.
Yeah. And then, putting clothes on, that's the other one. So at the start of lockdown, I was brilliant at that. And then it slipped. And I think it slipped around the same time as my way I was dealing with it took a dive simultaneously.
And in terms of that wobble you described, what were you able to do to bring yourself out of that?
I mean, the first thing I did was I allowed myself to have a wobble. Very lucky, I've got a really supportive group of friends who are absolutely amazing. And if we're having a bad time, we will just tell each other. And we're not always there to offer advice. Sometimes I don't think that's what's needed. Sometimes you just need to say to people, I'm having a bad time. And they say, okay, that's awful. I'm here for you. Look after yourself. I also put a thing out on Twitter, just having a minor, I'm not coping. Has anyone got any strategies? And people were suggesting things, little daft things like give yourself a foot massage, like get some human contact, even if it's just yourself. Yeah, allowed myself to have a moment. I think I sort of gave myself a couple of days when I was like, you know, if you need to feel down, you can. That's absolutely fine. And then it's things like we were talking about with the sort of a routine. It's going, right, well, I'm going to make sure that I get up and I'm going to make sure that I put my clothes on rather than just slouching around all day in my dressing gown. Because there was definitely a week when I have a wonderful postie, but I'm pretty certain she was judging me. Because whenever I answered the door to her, I was there in my dressing gown in the morning. So yeah, certainly trying to find some routine really helped. Got back into doing what I'd started doing at the start, but with absolutely no pressure. So I'd go, right, I'm going to create a video because that's what I want to do and that makes me happy. But I'm not going to be like, you've got to do it right now. It's going to be, I'll do it in my own time. I'll get it to the standard I want. Because by this point, we've realized this is going to be going on for a very long time. I think that's kind of it, really. There wasn't a lot I felt I could do. That was the problem. And I think that was one of the reasons why it was so distressing, because I've got no control over any of the situation around me. So it was very much a case of, right, well, let's control the controllables. Let's control what I can. I can control how I look. Like, am I going to wash my hair, put on some clothes? I can control what I'm eating. So let's not go crazy and eat all the rubbish. Let's eat healthy food. And I can control creating my own content, but I also can control my own time scale. Yeah.
I think that's really important. And like you've mentioned, we have this time. So if we need a break, now is the time to have it. And then in terms of all the reflecting you've been doing, how do you see your career in your industry going forward?
Oh, well, that's a really big question. I don't know is the answer to that. Like, on a personal level, I am aware that my work-life balance was pretty good, but could perhaps be better. Problem at the moment is we just don't know how much of an industry we've got to go back to. That's the big problem. In the last couple of days, we've had the news that the government's going to give some funding. It's wonderful. To the industry. So that's taken a slight weight off people's shoulders. But in the weeks leading up to that announcement, our industry was just crumbling. I can't even begin to get into how stressful that all was. So at the moment, because we don't know what's going to happen, we don't even know at this point in time if there's going to be any performances allowed this summer. We are hoping the government might say outdoor performances are allowed, but it's very difficult to look forward to the future when it is just a big blank at the moment. So I don't really have an answer to that question. I'm sorry.
No, I think that's a very honest answer, actually. And that's part of the reason I wanted to hear your perspective on it, because it can be so difficult to know what's actually going on, that we've almost got numb to all these announcements from the government and all these, this many billion being thrown about. But certainly as an outsider, 1.57 billion doesn't seem massive for such an important industry compared to so much else that's been proposed.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to find detail about the funding at the moment. If you have a look on the government's website, it's quite difficult to read into it. I mean, obviously, I'm so happy that we got anything, because at one point it looked like they were just going to let us die. And I know that might sound dramatic, but I don't think people realise just how many people are employed by this industry. It's something like 2 million people. You go to the theatre and you think, oh, that's an actor on the stage and maybe someone's moving the set and there's perhaps a director. But you've got all the other people. You've got the marketing, you've got the admin, you've got the people that sell you ice creams, you've got your box office staff, like logistics, the people that drive around the trucks with the sets in. You know, it's absolutely huge. So I am really grateful that there is some money available. It's just waiting to see how that gets distributed. And at the moment, we don't really know what's going to happen with it. So I'm being hopeful, but I'm still being pragmatic about it.
I think that's very fair. But it's been another example of where the industry and the people working in it or trying to work in it on the ground know what the issues are. And it's taken so long for the government to catch up and actually offer a rescue package. So for me, it feels very personal. You know, only recently I had a guest on called Lawrence, and I interviewed him a few days before this was announced. And so absolutely, there's so much more hope because of this announcement. Yeah. But then on the other hand, there's so many people, like I've got a friend of mine who lost his job at the National Theatre a week before the announcement. And so it's too late for him. He has inquired, but no, it doesn't change anything immediately for him.
Yeah. And they're all the people that fell through the cracks as well. I'm very lucky in that I am full-time self-employed. So when I'm not working in theatre, my other job is I write for magazines as a freelancer. So when the government relief came out for the self-employed, I was able to access that because I am self-employed full-time. But I have quite a few friends who are pretty kind of 50-50. So they weren't eligible for furlough. They weren't eligible for the self-employed income support. Now that we've achieved what we set out to with getting the government's attention for theatre, I've taken a couple of days break. And now it's time to sort of dive back in and go, right, what about all the people you've forgotten? Because at this point in time, we can't just go, right, great, I got what I wanted, I'm sorted. You know, you've got to sort of shout loud for those people as well. And I do understand this is an insane time, but there are people that are falling through the cracks. And I know people who've had no income since March, who've burned through credit cards and all sorts. So, yeah, fun times.
Yeah, well, it's exhausting just even talking and thinking about the mountain we have to climb, and actually doing all that campaigning is so tiring in and of itself as well. So with all that in mind, what are you doing to look after yourself and make sure you take time out throughout this?
Well, I mean, I didn't really do anything to look after myself in the weeks while I was campaigning. Basically, every single time I picked up my phone, another organisation was announcing redundancies, and I just felt I didn't have time to breathe. So for about 3 weeks, I think my stress levels were insanely high. Then on the Sunday night when the announcement came through from the government, my inbox went absolutely crazy because everybody I know who doesn't work in theatre, who I'd been begging to write to their MP and all this kind of stuff, they were all going, have you seen the news? And that was the first night, I think, in, I don't know how long, weeks, months, I actually got a good night's sleep. And the next day I was like, right, that's it. I'm having 2 days off. And my other half used the analogy, like, you're on a plane and the masks drop down, and they always say, put your own mask on before you put on anyone else's. Because as soon as we got our funding, I then wanted to go, right, let's help other people now. And he was like, no, you need to stop and you need to put your own mask on. You need to breathe for a while and then you can help people. So I've had a couple of days just watching rubbish telly and just doing nothing and thinking about nothing and not going on social media. And that's kind of sort of revitalized me a bit. So I feel kind of ready to carry on. I, looking back at those weeks we were campaigning like a crazy person, there are definitely things I could have done to look after myself better. But I just, the whole thing was so stressful. And I know some people might be listening and thinking, well, it's not that big a deal, but we were watching our entire industry crumble. It wasn't just, I don't have a job. It was, not only is there going to be no jobs for us to come back to, but an entire cultural landscape is going to be destroyed. And that's just so traumatizing. And I think perhaps I could have been a bit more, I don't know, modular in my approach, in that I could have gone, I'm going to do this to help, and then I'm going to turn my phone off. But I mean, I didn't. I sort of lived, breathed it, and you're on your phone at 7 a.m. and then you're sending emails at midnight and there's no pause in between. So I think the answer is I didn't look after myself very well, but I'm looking with a bit of hindsight now and going, right, okay, so now I want to continue helping other people, but I need to make sure that I look after myself along the way. Otherwise, I'm going to burn out. And then you can't help anybody when you burn out.
Right. But in fairness to you, I don't think there is a good way to do lockdown. That it's just such a crazy time to be living through that it's great that you're forgiving yourself for that as well. And it sounds like your fiancé is there to give you some very good advice.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's really good at stuff like that. I've often joked that, like, I sort of speed him up and he slows me down. He's very good at going, you need to take a break. And I very much appreciate that.
I think that's nice. And if I may add one, I think the watch needs to go in a drawer. I don't think it haunting your bedside table is much help.
I'm not sure it's haunting, to be honest. When I found it, it was really distressing. But now for me, it's more a symbol of hope and of, I will wear that watch again one day. I will stick that watch on my wrist and I will go out to work and that will happen. So it's not so much haunting me as it's going, go on, you can do it. And it's not gathering dust anymore. That's the thing. It gets cleaned and tidied and yeah.
Good. Well, that's a nice positive spin on it then. So we'll wrap up there. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening. For a list of our recommended resources, visit mentalpodcast.co.uk. And remember, we are in no way a substitute for qualified counselling or other mental health support. Our show is edited and produced by the brilliant Pete Murta, with licensed music by NetSky. Links in the description. Speak to you next Thursday, and remember, you are enough.